ॐ सहनावतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः। हरिः ॐ श्रीगुरुभ्यो नमः। हरिः ॐ। So today we start this chapter 6, the 6th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, which is on meditation. And I very often told you that the reason that it is placed 6th is because there is a lot of pre-work to be done before we start meditation. And the pre-work, the preparation, begins with Karma Yoga. Karma Yoga taking us to a purified mind. Mind getting purified, then karma sannyas. And karma sannyas has to be understood correctly, because sannyas means renunciation. And if you literally translate the words karma and sannyas, it means renunciation of action. And there is a huge misunderstanding that that is a renunciation of physical action, like renunciation from doing actually physically performing action, which is not correct. So the physical performance of action never really ceases, never really stops, and it cannot stop until actually you reach the highest form of sannyas, which is a different, totally different matter. Because if you give up karmas before your vasanas are all negated, are all neutralized, are all liquidated, those vasanas are going to push you into acting. So there may or may not be an external trigger, because external trigger can be avoided, but the internal trigger cannot be avoided unless each and every single vasana in the mind is negated, is falsified, is taken care of. So what Bhagwan means by karma sannyas is that in the mind, the doership and enjoyership is to be given up. Doership, the notion that I am doing something, and the enjoyership which follows. If there is doership, there will definitely be enjoyership. So what follows is that I have done the action and I'm going to enjoy the result. And that is what we studied, we learned in chapter 5. Where Bhagwan says that this is what karma sannyas is, Arjun, specifically to Arjun, because to all of us, but specifically he's telling Arjun, because Arjun actually wanted to physically renounce the war and go away. And he thought, yes, I will, you know, take sannyas. But sannyas is not, people think sannyas is easy, but it is not. And the reason it is not easy is because of the vasanas. So Bhagwan says to, it doesn't say the Gita, but the idea is that Arjun, even if you go to the forest and there's nobody else, so there's no actually external trigger, your internal vasanas, you're going to start fighting with the trees, because you're going to say, this is Duryodhana, you start cutting the trees, because the internal pressure is going to be so much. So that internal pressure has to be taken care of. That will be taken care of when the vasanas, the push to act, this is what is, we've got to push from inside. And when that reduces, and that reduces with purification of mind, it reduces with knowledge. So all these aspects, it reduces with bhakti also, because when all the thoughts are directed towards the deity, Ishta Devata, that also will help reduce vasanas. Because then we are developing good vasanas or shubha vasanas, which are thinking only about the deity. And then all these other worldly things will fall off. That is the idea, that all these other worldly things have to fall off. Now, when this mind has come to this stage, Then Bhagwan now talks about meditation. Meditation is all about stabilizing the mind and then getting it to be fixed on a one particular thought, which is Ambrahmasmi. The highest meditation, the one thought. I can say, yeah, I can fix my mind on one thought, the movie that I saw yesterday. No. That's not meditation. Meditation is fixing the thought on Aham Brahmasmi. And these thoughts have to be controlled. We think that thought is being triggered from an outside object, person, or situation. What is actually triggering thought is the value that I have put on that object, thought, object or person or situation. So when there is a situation that I don't like, then there are hateful thoughts. In the sense, I dislike this. Like Vancouver today has been totally cold all day. All day I've been freezing. So that is when I don't like that situation because I like warm, then this thought is triggered. So it is not that the situation is triggering the thought. It is my dislike for it that is triggering the thought. And if I would have liked the cold, then I would have said, oh, lovely, lovely, you know, nice. It's nice and cool today. So again, it is the like or the dislike. And therefore, indifference is the way to take care of thoughts. So when I'm indifferent to it, whether it is whether I like it or I don't like it, it's okay. If it rains, it's okay. If it's warm, it's okay. That indifference has to come. And it's in Sanskrit, there's no upeksha. It means I should be able to ignore because it doesn't mean anything to me. That's the idea. That, okay, it's okay, fine. You know, and that doesn't mean you don't take care. You take an umbrella or whatever raincoat, etc., etc. But in the mind, there should be no agitation because until the mind comes to that state of no agitation or less agitation, meditation is not possible. It is not possible because the mind is constantly going to run out. You can sit at one place, close your eyes, some sound will come, the mind will run there. Some smell will come, the mind will run there. Some thought will come in the mind and it'll run. Because the thought is being triggered from inside. So you really don't need anything outside. Inside only thoughts are getting triggered. And that is why meditation, see, there are people who have come to me and first day, first class, they're like, oh, we want to do meditation. Yeah, but what are you going to meditate on? You have to know what the object of meditation should be. Not only that, one thing is that intellectually you'll understand, but is your mind capable of doing meditation? Because it is at the level of the mind. It is a control of the mind. It is a stability of the mind. It is a control of the thoughts. That is what meditation is. Medit is the root. The Latin root for the word meditation is medit. And medit means to heal. So when we meditate and when we reach, because that is the object of Vedantic meditation, is to reach the highest, we would have completely healed ourselves of everything, whatever that is. Because all the diseases are at the level of the body or the mind. And so if we reach beyond that, which is the purpose of meditation, we would have healed ourselves automatically because we would have at that point disidentified from that matter, which is getting diseased. So that is what the purpose of meditation is. And we have seen so far. So now in this chapter, the first 10 verses, Bhagwan will talk about general things and from, I believe 30%, from some in the middle, about 10, 11, he will go into the, you know, the posture and all those things. I told you in Dhyana Swarupam that in this chapter, there'll be a lot more details given about meditation, which will come in due course. So this starts off with Sri Bhagavan Uvacha. Atha Shashto Dhyayaha Sri Bhagavan Uvacha. Anashrita karma phalam karyam karma karoti yah sasanyasi cha yogi cha na niragnir na chakriyah. The Blessed Lord said, he who performs his bounden duty without depending on the fruits of action, he is a sannyasin and a yogin. Not he who has renounced is without fire and without action. Okay, so here the word sannyas, I told you, means renunciation. And if you take the general meaning of sannyas, then a sannyasi is actually not supposed to cook. That's what is meant here by without fire. So he's not supposed to light a fire because obviously food would be cooked on fire. He's supposed to go and beg for bhiksha. He's not supposed to really be doing any action. And that is our idea, you know, taking orange clothes or going into the ashram. And then of course we feel, well, I'm a householder. How can I do that? Or how can I leave and go? So now Bhagwan is giving here a different definition of sannyasa, which is what he's saying, the one who performs his bounden duty, which includes us, grahasthas, which includes brahmacharis, which includes vanaprastha ashram also. All three ashramas are included in this. Why? Because whoever has a bounden duty, there are nitya karma and naimittika karma. There are five types of karma. I talked about this in chapter 3. But anyway, once again, nitya karma, which is our daily duties, which like taking bath, that is nitya karma, or daily lighting a lamp in front of the altar, daily duties, or going to work, that is also a daily duty. We go to work, etc. Naimittika karma is occasional. So occasional is, you know, once a month on Purnima day when they do Satyanarayan puja, or Shraddha karma we do like on anniversary. So that is not like every day it has to be done, but it's naimittika. So it's certain occasions are there, and that time that particular karma is to be done. This nitya and naimittika karma, sometimes they're called niyata karma, and that's bounden duty. That's what it is. Niyata karma, bounden duty. So previously, you know, even naimittika karma was taken very seriously. So, you know, the parents' shradhish karma or whatever that was done. And nitya, of course, the daily duties. So what Bhagwan, and this definition of sannyas Bhagwan is given to encourage us householders, because Arjun was a householder. Understand that the disciple in this text is a householder. It's not an Upanishadic disciple who has actually probably given up his home and everything, and he's a brahmachari and he's ready to take orange cloth and take sannyas and all. This is a householder. A householder who is telling Bhagwan that, you know, sannyas, because that's what he thinks. I will take sannyas. I will go to the forest and take sannyas. That is what he's thinking. And to correct that thinking and to correct our thinking also, Bhagwan says, I consider him to be a renunciate who has stopped depending on the fruit of action. Anashrita karma phalam. Karma phalam, result of action. Phala, result. Karma, action. So this, because every action gives results. Now, even in karma yoga, we told you that do the action such that you offer that result to the Lord. Karma yoga is where I am. There is some result in mind, but I'm offering it. So I think I'm the doer. I think I'm going to get some result. This is karma yoga. Huh? And then I say that, okay, Lord, I offer this to you. And that gives us the practice to offering it constantly, 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 until we come to a stage where I do not have any insistence on the result. I only do the action to get purification of mind. Means mind has become so purified that the action is being done just because it is supposed to be done, not because I want this, I want that, I might get this or that. And that stage is what he's talking about here. That a person is now performing after karma sannyas, after karma yoga, purity of mind, karma sannyas, giving up of doership and enjoyership, he is now no longer depending on the result of action. And what this is doing is giving him peace of mind. Because all the excitement in our mind is because of, will I get this? Will I get this? Will I get what I want? Will I get? And if I don't get what I want, then I'm unhappy. And therefore, this definition is a special definition has been given to sannyas to encourage the householders. Please don't think that suddenly now we have become sannyasis. No, as long as we have that attachment to the result, we are not sannyasis. But to encourage Arjun, if you really want to take sannyas, you don't have to run up from the war. You fight the war and be a sannyasi. This is the message that he's giving Arjun. And so for us, though, there is no physical war, but every day, daily, there is some or the other conflict to be resolved, work to be done, job to be accomplished, whatever. Everybody has something or the other in their life. Keep doing that. You don't have to run away. This is what the message is. No need to run away. neutralize the vasanas, purify the mind, stop depending on the result of action. I am willing to call you a sannyasi as well as a yogi. Here, yogi is the one who is joining to the higher. So karma yogi, coming from yuj dhatu to join. So the karma yogi, the reason the karma yogi is being done is because the idea is to join to the higher. So he says, I'm willing to call you sannyasi, willing to call you yogi. You stay in your own position, keep doing your own duty. Only one condition, don't have attachment to the result of action. So in your own place, right? Whoever is in whatever situation, remain in that situation. No need to run away. This is the message he's giving here. And he says, there are sannyasis, we think they've given up the fire physically, but in their mind, if they have not given up the attachment, then what is the point? I will tell you one incident which happened. This is a real incident which happened in Gurudev's life. So when he wanted to come to the plains and start teaching, preaching this knowledge to everybody, then his Guru Swami Tapon Maharaj told him that before you do that, you need to go on foot throughout India, beg for alms, live like a sannyasi, and only then you can go out and do all this. Okay, if you read Journey of a Master, that is his biography. So you'll see that. So Gurudev had to follow that. So Gurudev actually has done that. He has traveled through India walking and asking for alms. And then he was in Uttarkashi or one place where he met another sadhu, a sannyasi who was in orange clothes. And they got to talking and Gurudev told him this is what he's doing because his guru has told him this, etc., etc. And then that other person, the other Swami or sadhu asked him, are you going to go to such and such place in the south? He asked him a place. And Gurudev said, yeah, I think I will. I mean, it's on the way and I will pass that place. I don't remember the exact name, but one place in the south. And then that sadhu said, in such and such, at such and such address, my wife and son are there. I left home when my son was 2 years old. It has been 18 years now. He will be about 20. Can you check up on them? This is true. This is true story. This is not a story. Now, that type of a sannyasi Bhagwan is talking about here. He has physically given up action. He left home to become a sannyasi. After 18 years, he has not gotten his son out of his head. That is not a sannyasi. This is what Bhagwan is telling Arjun. You will go run away to the forest and Duryodhan is not going to come out of your mind. Now, what is the point? What type of sannyasi is that? That is no sannyasi. That's what Bhagwan is saying. I do not consider that as a sannyasi. Rather than that, you stay, you do what is your bounden duty. That's why Nishidha karma and all, not bounden duty. Nishidha means which should not be done, okay? Even kamya karma is not included. Bounden duty, only naimittika and nitya. You do your duty. Why right now your duty is to fight? You do your duty, give up the attachment to result. I'm willing to call you a sannyasi. You want to be a sannyasi? You be a sannyasi. Staying right here on the battlefield. Even Sant Ramdas, who is the guru of Shivaji. Shivaji is a king, Kshatriya warrior from Maharashtra. His guru was Sant Ramdas. And Sant Ramdas also told him, be a sannyasi king. This is what he was told. Be a sannyasi raja. Sannyasi king means you are the king, but all this only is in your trust. You're only a trustee of the people. You're only a trustee of the wealth and all that. It's not yours. So remaining in your position, because the country needs you to fight the Muslim invaders, you remain there. You don't run away. You don't run away. You remain there, but remain as a sannyasi. And this is the message that is being given. So he's glorifying the householder, encouraging us householders, telling us that if we really want to take sannyas, sannyas is a state of the mind. Please understand. It is the dispassion in the mind. It is not really running away and say, oh, okay, now I won't cook because this is what sannyas. I'll just wear orange clothes because that's what they do. That is not sannyas. Okay? So this ability to give up the result of action, and to maintain the quietude of the mind. So sannyas and yogi, two words he has used. Yoga is to maintain the quietude of the mind, and sannyas here is to renounce the attachment to the fruit. They are not two different things. If we can renounce attachment to the fruit, mind will automatically quieten, because it's not getting excited over what will happen, what will not happen, will I get this, will I get that, etc. Okay, so though it feels like two different things to be done, it is not. So it's only one. And Bhagwan says, I am willing to call you a sannyasi if you are willing to do this. All right. So because in the traditional sense, sannyas means you're supposed to give up all the Vedic rituals. You're supposed to give up your sacred thread. You're supposed to wear orange clothes. You're supposed to, you know, ask for alms, not cook yourself, etc., etc. It's not like that. There's another one incident that comes to my mind. See, when Guruji was given sannyas, he was very new. He was given sannyas. And then in the Middle East, they invited him somewhere, Kuwait or someplace. So when this is way, way, way back, imagine, you know, this is in the 80s. And then when the time came to go, the people, the organizers in that country, and I can't remember, it's Middle East somewhere, they said, you know, but Swamiji, you can't wear orange and come. Even now in certain countries, Balvihar and all is very secretly done. There's no website and all that. So that time, it was even more strict, one of the Muslim countries. So they said, so Guruji said, why? They said, no, orange, they will not allow you. You'll have to wear white and come. Now Guruji thought, oh my God, I am a sannyasi. Now how I can, just now I got my orange clothes, now I have to go in white. So he called Gurudev. Gurudev was there. Guidance. Gurudev, I need guidance. That this is what. So Gurudev said to him, we are missionaries. You are there to impart knowledge. What does it matter whether you're wearing white or orange? So when you land there, go wear white clothes, leave the airport. When you come back into the airport, when you come here, just wear your orange clothes, finish. So idea is, it's not external. Sannyas is not something external. It is an internal thing. Okay? That is what Bhagwan is trying to tell Arjun here.
Yam sannyasamiti prahuhu yogam tam viddhi pandava naya sannyasta sankalpaha yogi bhavati kashchana.
O Pandava, please know yoga to be that which they call renunciation. No one verily becomes a yogi who has not renounced thoughts. And renunciation of thought, that's why, because you cannot join to the higher unless you are giving up thoughts of the worldly nature. And the worldly nature thoughts can be given up only by reducing the value on the world. There's no other way of giving up thoughts. That value that we have put on either object, person, or situation has to be reduced, has to be toned down. So when we do not put a certain amount of value to that extent, the thought about that object, person, or situation will reduce. Madhusudan Saraswati ji says that there are five types of thoughts in our mind. One is called pramana. He calls it pramana. Madhusudan Saraswati ji has written a tika. See, first there is a bhasha which Bhagwan Shankaracharya has written. And then on that bhasha, to simplify that commentary, there are other commentators. But when they write a commentary on the commentary, so there is a commentary on the Bhagavad Gita directly, which is by Bhagwan Shankaracharya. And then Madhusudan Saraswati ji, who has written the Pushpika and the Om Parthaya, the first mantras that we, the shlokas that we chant. So the commentary on the commentary is called Tika. So it's not a commentary directly on the, it is on the Bhagavad Gita, but not direct. What he does is he explains certain words which Bhagwan, or sentences which Bhagwan Shankaracharya has not elaborated, because Bhagwan is talking at a very high level. So there are certain which he just writes. Then Madhusudan sir explains, what does Bhagwan Shankaracharya mean? And that is called a tika. Now in that, when Bhagwan says, okay, give up thoughts, or Bhagwan Shankaracharya says, he will just say thoughts. So we are supposed to understand what it is. He said there are five types of thoughts. One is pramana. So which is a jnana. Pramana means gaining knowledge, because pramana is proof. Literal meaning of pramana is proof. We have seen the six types of proof, pramanas and all. So gaining knowledge, which is real knowledge. So real knowledge is what? There is only one real knowledge in this entire world. And what is that? Aham Brahmasmi. That's it. There's no other real knowledge other than that. Next is Viparyaya. Viparyaya is Mithya Jnanam. Mithya. Mithya Jnanam thought is, I am body, mind, intellect. It is Mithya. Okay? Or the world is real. Or there is happiness in the objects of the world. All this is Mithya. Mithya, we are not saying false. We are saying Mithya. So illusory. False means horns on the rabbit. That is false. That is not there. That is not Mithya. That is totally false. But we are saying Mithya Jnanam. So what is Mithya? Which what I have right now? Because when I, as long as I keep considering myself to be this body, it is this Viparya thought. That thought is there. Then there is Vikalpa. So Vikalpa is Shabda Praman. What is known as Shabda. Shabda Praman means based on the words, whatever knowledge that you're gaining. Now, depending on the word, the knowledge could be really real or no. So if the words are Shastra words, like Vedic words, or like by what we are reading in Bhagavad Gita, Shruti, Smriti, then the knowledge, the thought of knowledge that will arise in your mind will be real, because Shruti will say Aham Brahmasmi. So if that thought is arising there, but if you're reading some other, somebody else telling you, right, we are watching news on TV every day, or in the newspaper, or I'm telling you, this is Vikalpa that is happening, because when I said it's been really cold in Vancouver today, raining all day, that is a Vikalpa. It's a Shabda Jnana, that is arising out of Shabda, out of words. So that is another thought. The next is Nidra. Nidra is sleep, where there is the thought of quote unquote nothing. Because when you wake up from sleep, the thought is I knew nothing. So that is another thought. That is also a thought. I know nothing is a thought. And then Smriti. Smriti is memory. So something that you have experienced before, something which you have seen, heard, tasted, touched, or smelled. So anything that has been perceived by any of the organs, sense organs, which is then recollected also is a thought. So that is those are the kinds of thoughts. Okay. And here what Bhagwan is saying is that what you think is sannyas and what I'm saying yoga, they both are the same, because this karma yoga is done to gain that final sannyas, final renunciation from all the thoughts, from all the desires or thoughts, because desire also is a thought, and that has to be finally renounced, because he's building up to meditation, because this is what needs to be done in the seat of meditation, that no other thought should be allowed to enter the mind. Okay, when you go into the seat of meditation, therefore this is all preparation for meditation. That's why Bhagwan is telling him, know this to be sannyas, to be giving up thoughts. And thoughts only can be given up by reducing value on the world. Okay, for the world. What is causing agitation in our mind, what is causing thought agitation is a thought, is like and dislike, is our connection that we are making with the world. And we make a connection only through likes and dislikes. I like this and I don't like this. And that connection needs to be broken if we want peace of mind, if we want to sit in the seat of meditation, if we want the mind to stabilize only on one thought, dhyana, aham brahmasmi, then all that importance has to be given to brahmasmi only. All full importance, but we can't give full importance to it, because there's so many other things that we have already given importance to in life, in our life, right? So unless we reduce that, unless we withdraw from there, this is not going to be possible. The yogi is on the path. It's like, you know, a student goes to medical school, then they already start calling him doctor, because he's on the path to become a doctor. That's why in a mission also, some brahmacharis, they in India, I've seen this. A lot of the people are calling them Swamiji, you know, and I'm like, he's not a Swamiji. But they just call, and then it's like, okay, he's one day going to become a Swami. So, you know, that's the idea here with yogi. He's calling a yogi a sannyasi, because the yogi is walking towards the path of sannyas, towards sannyas. So already Bhagwan is calling him a sannyasi. That's why he says he's a yogi, is a sannyasi. This is what he says in the first verse. All right. And the renunciation of the sannyasi, understand, or for us also, it should not be out of, see, we can renounce things out of fear. You know, when I suppose I've got high blood sugar, then I give up, I renounce sweets. Okay, now that is not sannyas. That is fear. Now my blood sugar might go up or my cholesterol will go up, so I'll give up this. That sort of idea is not there in this sannyas. This is a voluntary, means he is capable of enjoying it, but he gives it up. Why? With a higher thing in mind. Like the Olympic athletes who want to win the gold medal, they can go party. Nobody's stopping them, but they don't want to because they want to earn that gold medal. So with something higher in mind, when the lower is given up, not because, oh, then something will happen to me, what will I do? Not like that. Understand, it is not out of fear that the sannyasi is renunciating. It is out of a desire to attain something much, much greater. Much, much greater, right? Okay. Now, arurukshor munir yogam karma karanam karanam uchate yoga rudhasya tasseiva shama karanam uchate. For a muni or sage who wishes to attain to yoga, action is said to be the means. For the same sage who has attained to yoga, inaction, quiescence is said to be the means. There are two words here. First word in the first line, aru rukshaha. And the second word, yoga rudhasya. Okay, so aru rukshaha means one who wishes to climb the steed. You know when they climb the horse, the first, when the horse has to be tamed, the first time, you won't let anybody sit, right? So then the person, experts, they do that. I've only seen it in films, huh? I don't know. But then they sort of hold the horse because the horse will not let everybody sit. Then the person who is, so the first line is referring to a person who is trying to do that. Now, not a physical horse, but he's trying to climb the horse of his mind, which means he's trying to control the mind. Because in that also, when the person is trying to climb the horse, he's actually trying to control the horse. Calm him down so that he can sit on his back, right? And ride the horse. So Aru Ruksha is a person who wishes to. And the one who wishes to control the mind, Bhagwan says, karma is the only means. There is no other means to control the mind. Okay? And karma means karma yoga here. Please understand. Karma means not karma that we were, you know, the first stage, karmi, where you're doing, you want this result, so you go on doing, and there's a push of vasana. Not that sort of karma, but karma yoga. So with the five attitudes, which I've told you before, right? Attitude, sense of duty, sense of detachment, sense prasada buddhi, samatvam, all those. And then samatha, asangata, detachment, duty, as a duty, prasada buddhi, and then equanimity, I said. So those five ones. So when all these actions are being done with this, if you're trying to control the mind, this is the only way. Karma yoga is the only way, because the mind has to calm down. But one who has already controlled the mind, so one who has climbed up the steed of the mind, or climbed up the horse, or climbed up the horse of the mind, whatever, then he says, then this karma sannyas is essential. Where karma sannyas, if you're going into the highest, because right now the person, because we're going to be studying meditation, we cannot say that he has realized the self, but he has controlled his mind now, so he's fit to sit in the seat of meditation. So for that period, he can give up karma physically also. That's one thing. But here mainly is that renunciation of doership. Then he's a sannyasi. Because that's what Bhagwan said in the first verse, that one who gives up this attachment to result, I'm willing to call him a sannyasi. And it's you know, it's like a catch-22 thing. So first, when the attachment to result is given up, the mind will quieten. And when the mind quietens, the attachment will be given up. It's like they'll feed off of each other. You know, they help each other. So once we start reducing the value on the result, the mind will start quietening. The more the mind quietens, the more we will be able to give up that attachment. Because the mind will be able to accept things like, you know, okay, if it's in my destiny, it'll come. That sort of thing will happen. So they'll feed off of each other. And this is what Bhagwan is saying here, that one who is trying to control must do action. And so Arjun is falling where? Arjun is falling in this. So it's a message for Arjun. Arjun, you cannot run away. You have to do action. And what is your bounden action? Is to fight the war. That is a message for him there. Personally, for him, this is what Bhagwan is telling. But when you control the mind, and at that time, you can then start giving up action. So for us as spiritual seekers, we should fall under this Aru Ruksha. Means we must try to control the mind. If we want spiritual emancipation, the mind has to be controlled. If, there's a big if, okay? So if we are serious about our spiritual studies, then studying is one aspect of it. Okay, that is one aspect that we have to go on studying knowledge at 10 classes, etc. But on our own also, that must be our goal, that the mind has to quieten down. It shouldn't go into this frenzy of action like that. Action has to be done, but you know, quietly, not in a frenzied manner. Now, there are certain qualities. So this is like for us, practical thing I'll tell you, because Bhagwan has only said one action is required. For a person who is trying for spiritual emancipation, and I would put all of us in there as seekers, concentration of mind. So now concentration here means anything. If in Gurudev's words, if I were to tell you, Gurudev said, keep your mind where your hands are. Okay, that is Gurudev's definition of concentration. So not that we are spiritual seekers. We are not saying concentration means, oh, aham brahmasmi only, I should concentrate on. No. Whatever work that is assigned to you, whatever work you're supposed to do, keep your mind there. Because you see, as householders, we have different duties. Okay? So we cannot leave all that. So even that, it gives a practice of concentration, because later on, when you sit in the seat of meditation, the mind will be easily able to concentrate on whatever that you tell it. Control of the mind, understand, control of the mind means you must be able to put that thought in the mind which you want to think about. That is control. Understand, what is control? What do you mean by control? Suppose you're sitting in the seat of meditation and some other thoughts are coming. You must be able to say, no, this is not the time for these thoughts. Right now, I want you to think only about this. Then the control means you must be able to tell, like you say, okay, my child is under my control. Means what? Means he does whatever that I say, right? Or my horse, or my cat, or my dog. I say, sit, the dog sits. That means he's under my, if I say sit and the dog is standing, then he's not under my control. Same way with the mind, same way with our mind. So this concentration practice, we practice it when we, it's very hard, because what happens to us, and it happens to me too, because we get so used to doing things that we just do mechanically and the mind wanders everywhere. It's very natural, but this is what. So if we are brushing, we should try and concentrate on every stroke of the brush. If you're bathing, then you just bathe. If you're, you know, that. Secondly is equanimity. Okay, see, all these ones will lead to peace. If you're equanimous, and I just told you, if I'm equanimous to the cold, and if I have the same thing towards heat, then it is not going to bother me. No, either way, it is not going to bother me. So equanimity, sameness, very important. Truthfulness. This is also very important. Truth is, definition of truth is when what you think, what you say, and what you do has to be aligned. That is what truthfulness is. So if you observe people, most of the people are thinking something, they speak a second thing, and they actually do a third thing. Actually, this is what happens. So what things, mind, speech, and action that is coming out has to be aligned. That is truthfulness, okay? So, and the beauty about truthfulness, being truthful, is that there is only one truth. So no matter how many times people ask you the same thing, if you have spoken the truth, you will just speak that only. Imagine if you lie. Now, how many lies can there be? Zillions, right? Zillions of lies there can be. So every time somebody asks you, now I told you it's rained all day today, okay? Now, if that is the truth, if even after 10 days, you know, next Monday you are, last month, I'll say, no, last Monday it was raining. Finish. Because then, now suppose if I said something else, oh, what did I say? Did I say it snowed, or did I say it was warm, or did I say, then I have to think, what did I lie? What did I say last Monday? Right? So it's very advantageous to be truthful and say the truth, and then you're never going to change it. And then there is what is known as white lies also, right? So people think, oh, white lies, what does it hurt anybody else? It doesn't hurt anybody else. Who it is hurting is yourself. See, there's nothing, no sweat off of your back if I tell you some white lies. But what I must remember is it is a lie. It may be white lies. Maybe it is not hurting anybody. Like, suppose if today I say it is beautiful weather we had in Vancouver, better than Calgary. Now, it's nothing, no sweat off of your back, right? If I say something like this. What is happening to my spiritual progress? I told you, Vedanta is all about self-inquiry, self-purification. Am I getting purified by saying something like this? And it's not hurting anybody. What do you care whether it was sunny in Vancouver or it was not? What do you care? So nothing is happening to you, whoever's listening to whatever that I'm saying. And if it's a white lie, I'm falling. So remember that when I tell a white lie, I fall. So don't tell. What is the point? Don't tell. Because your spiritual progress is getting hindered. Please, we have to look at our own spiritual progress. Don't worry about others. And if others are telling, let them tell. What is it to me? Somebody else tells, okay, they are falling in their way. What is it? But we must, each one of us must, as if we are on the spiritual path, if we want, if there's a big if I want spiritual emancipation, I must be able to tell the truth. That doesn't mean that just for no reason you go and tell somebody you look ugly or something. Keep quiet. If you're not asked, then don't say. That also it doesn't mean. That truth means every time you'll just go on saying the truth without anybody asking you. Please remember that also. So that's the truthfulness. Character. Character has to be blemishless. Stability. There has to be stability of mind. Stability of body also. Not constantly moving, constantly talking, constantly. Control has to be there, stability. Withdrawal from punishing others. So punishing others means not that we would, but I hope that something bad happens to him. Not like that. Because all these kind of thoughts, they are creating agitation in my own mind. Right? That other person may even not know that they've made a mistake. And they're happily going about. Now I am only seething. So anyway, give it up. Straightforwardness, Arjavam, all these qualities will come in chapter 13. Arjavam, that's why the word Arjun also is from that. That's why one of the meanings of the word Arjun is straightforward. He was a very straightforward person. Okay? And then ultimately withdrawal has to be there. Okay? So this is for our spiritual emancipation. So for those who are interested in meditating, trying to meditate, then they must practice all these. Okay, just at our level. Now, next. So when Bhagwan, so Bhagwan has categorized two people: one who are trying to climb the steed, and one who have climbed. Now, Arjun might think, maybe I have already climbed. How do I know? What are the characteristics of a person who has climbed the steed? So now Bhagwan says, well, how does he become Yoga Arudha? See, he says, when is a man said to be Yoga Arudha? This is, see, the Gurudev also has written that. To have attained to yoga. When do you say that I've climbed? Yada hinendriyartheshu na karma svanushajjate sarva sankalpa sanyasi yoga rudhasta dochate. When a man is not attached to sense objects or to actions, having renounced all thoughts, then he is said to have attained to yoga. Now, here we have to understand that renounced all thoughts, what means? That means I'm almost dead only, no? Or in deep sleep, I'm renouncing thoughts. So it is not, because mind is a flow of thought. So renouncing thoughts, in the highest stage of meditation, that is what will happen. There will be mindlessness, but that is the highest stage. Right now, we are only trying to control. So what it means by renouncing thoughts is to reduce the value on it. They should not bother us. See, thought will bother us when I like or dislike, right? When I connect with the thought, when I identify with the thought, that is when it is going to bother me. Okay, so thought will come. If it doesn't bother me, it is as good. It is like our virus example. Okay, there is virus in the air. What does it matter to me? I've taken my flu shot, so I'm protected. So I've as good as renounced viruses. Right? So same way, it's as good as I've renounced thoughts. And I told you the kind of thoughts that we have. So he's not attached to sense objects. Why? Because he's attached to something higher. Why will I give up something lower? Or attach and detach. Gurudev's words, attach and detach. So attach to the higher, then the lower will automatically detach. Okay. So when he is not attached to sense object or to action, he is not attached to action. It is not being said he has given up action. So what is the thing? A message is action is being committed. Action is being done, but there is no attachment to the action and nor is there any attachment to the result because that was already said in the first verse. So action is being done without insistence on the result, with a sense of duty, with a sense of equanimity, with a sense of detachment, with a sense of prasada buddhi. And then if all the actions are being done like that, then Bhagwan says, I would call him a yoga rudha. Okay? That I will this thing. The genesis of action, let me remind you, I've told you this. Where does the action start? At what level? It starts at the subtlest level of the vasanas. Okay. It is the vasana that gets triggered. It is there in subtle form. And even I myself don't know my vasanas. Nobody knows their own vasanas. It's their vasana, but they don't know. It only becomes visible. It only manifests when it comes as a desire in the intellect. Okay. Because, and I've given you many times the example, if there is a cup of tea here, the one who has that tea vasana is going to want that tea, cup of tea. But the one who does not have that vasana, that desire is not going to get triggered in their mind. Okay, so it gets triggered from there, comes as a desire, and then that desire agitates in the mind. Now there we have control. Where at the level of the vasana, we have no control because we don't even know what is there in the vasana. But when that desire comes, and that is what is meant by renouncing thought, is that, yeah, the thought will come because I told you, thought is not being, see, we think that external things trigger thought. We think that. So, somebody went to one Swamiji and they said, Swamiji, it is the external, you know, I don't want to think about anything, but you know, all these triggers are there on the outside. And Swamiji said, yeah, what kind of trigger? So he said, you see, now this advertisement for the movie has come and now this thought has come for me to see the movie. And Swamiji said, yeah, but I also saw that ad, but the thought never came in my mind that I should go see the movie, right? So point is that the thought is getting triggered from within. And okay, and the we have no control over the trigger. That is another, I wouldn't say a problem. That is the way it is. That we have no control over. But once it comes in our mind, then at that time, we exercise control. And control also must not be thought of as like pushing it down or, you know, suppressing it. One way of control, and that's what Gurudev has given, sublimation. Sublimation is when you are thinking of something higher and then giving up that thought. Like, I want to climb the state of my mind. I must not let my mind run in all directions. The most it happens is early in the morning when we have to get up. Like, do I really have to get up? It's so raining and it's so cold. And that time you tell the mind, yes, I have to get up. There is no choice. I have to get up in this time. That is where. You know, so that those are the occasions. So at that time, that is sublimation. And the other way of controlling is by choice. So you can give your mind a choice. you know, okay, so no, the choice is that this is what, you know, some other choice is given. You know, have you, suppose you're watching TV and then somebody had done this. My son was really young and he was playing right in between and disturbing, you know, the person who was watching TV. Then what she did was, my friend, she took his whole box of toys and she put it on the other side of the room. The minute she did that, he just went to his toys. So she gave him a choice, you know, it's there. So we can do that to the mind also. That, okay, not this, but let's do that kind of thing. So that way also control can be exercised. So that's what he says. That so the renunciation of action, which he has said here, is basically renunciation of desire. Okay? Because action is preceded by desire. Nobody will act if there is no desire. So when the vasana is triggered and a desire is created, you can neutralize the desire at that point because it has now become visible, it has become manifest. And you can neutralize it by choice or by sublimation or whichever way. Or, okay, let's do it later on. Today I can't do it. You know, so that anything. See, I was at a restaurant having lunch with a friend, and when we started lunch, we said, oh, okay, let's, we were at White Spots. We said, oh, let's have cheesecake. You know, it's really good. But as I was eating my meal, the thought came to me that, you know, that cheesecake is going to have egg, and today is Monday, and I don't eat eggs. I don't eat non-veg or anything like that. So by the time I had finished my meal, I said to her, I said, you know what? Let's not eat the cheesecake today because today is Monday and I really don't feel right about eating egg. Control. It triggered. The vasana triggered because I like sweets. I like cheesecake, you know. So, but then when it became manifest in my mind, then I sublimated it because my fast is more important to me. It's important to me that I don't break my fast. Why should I, right? And this is how I sublimated it. So there was no regret. Oh, I couldn't eat the cheesecake. Oh. No regret. Finish. One statement. It's Monday. I cannot eat. Let's not. And she said, yeah. She right away agreed. She's like, yeah. That's fine, Jaya. Let's go. So we walked out. Right? So that is one way of doing it. So when the action is not come out, no? Then automatically that action was renounced of ordering the cheesecake. It was renounced. Because the desire only was neutralized. Then the action will not come out. So practical way. So that is one way. I'm just giving an example. There could be many, many ways. Now, next one.
Uddharedatmanatmanam natmanam avasadayet atmaivayatmano banduhu atmaivaripuratmanaha.
Let a man lift himself by his own self alone and let him not lower himself. For this self alone is the friend of oneself, and this self alone is the enemy of oneself. This Atma word, Atmana, has been used 7 times in this verse. Please note. Okay? So, Uddharet Atmana, number 1. Atmanam, number 2. Na Atmanam, number 3. Atmaiva, number 4. He Atmano, number 5. Banduhu Atmaiva, number 6. Ripuhu Atmanaha, number 7. Alright? So 7 times this word has been used. Now, here the word Atma does not mean pure self. That's the number one thing to understand. That's why we need a teacher to tell us all this. So this word, because Atma generally we would say soul and pure self and, you know, all this, right? But here, if Bhagwan is saying, lift the self by the self, how can it be pure self? Because there's only one pure self. So which pure self is lifting pure self number 1 and pure self number 2? There is. So it doesn't make sense. So what is being talked about here is the mind. It's the Jivatma. It's yourself. Okay? Uddharet Atmana Atmanam. So what Bhagwan is saying is, lift yourself by yourself. What is the message here? That means there is no one else who can help you. That's why Bhagwan is not going to say something which is not possible. That is what the message is, that only you. Because see, for us, for spiritual emancipation, the tools that we have is our mind only. There is nothing, no, of course the books are there and the guru is there to tell us and all that. But it is a stabilizing the mind. It is my mind. How is the guru going to stabilize the mind? That's why Gurudev has said, I'm not a mule guru. I'm not going to carry you. He can't. No guru can. He can guide you. He can tell you. So he's telling you stabilize your mind. But to actually stabilize it, it is your own job. Each one's job. And that is what Bhagwan is saying here. Lift yourself by yourself. Now here, when this mind, it is lift your lower mind by your higher mind. So you can take it as my mind, which is like a truant child, and the intellect who is controlling it. So let the mind be under the control of the intellect. So one, the first Atmana you can take is mind, and the second Atmana you can take is intellect, or you can take the lower mind and you can say the higher mind, or you can say the mind and you can say the conscience. Either way. But it's you only. There's no other conscience telling you. Because people can tell you this is what you're doing is wrong. But if you yourself are not going to agree to it, and you yourself are not going to this thing, you're not going to lift yourself. Okay? So, Uddharet Atmana, Atmana. So, by yourself, you lift yourself. And self here is not yourself. Huh? Please understand that. Na Atmanam Avasadayat. Avasadayat is to fall. Let not the mind fall. Now, mind falling means mind falling from the spiritual path. So this urge to lie, urge to hurt somebody, urge, those type of negative thoughts are what is meant by mind falling. When we entertain negative thoughts, when we encourage them, when we let them take a hold over our intellect, when we let them take a hold, and then finally, when we actually, if we actually act on that, that is a complete fall. Okay, and we saw the ladder of fall Bhagwan has given. Dhyayato vishyan punsa. There only he said, thinking about the objects will create desire, not fulfillment will create anger, delusion, loss of memory, fall. Right? So that's why he says, do not let the mind fall. Keep it up. Okay? Atmaiva adhyatmano bandhu. Bandhu is friend here, literally meaning brothers or relatives. But here we have to take it as a friend. So he says, this, we have got only one mind. That same mind can be your friend as well as it can be an enemy. Okay. We'll stop here today, but we will elaborate on this verse because there is more to be talked about this verse, but there's not much time. So we'll continue with verse 5. Now, just a couple things I wanted to tell you. One thing is, you know that next Monday there cannot be a class because of Swami Ishwananji being here. So the next class will be 29th May will be the next class. And the other thing is, I have to move out of this house in June now. My condo is still not ready, so I'm really not sure where I'll be going, but my stuff probably is moving into storage. And the day for the move is 21st of June. So the last class that I can take from my side would be the 19th of June. Please take note of that. If you want the class talk before that, it's okay. But after 19th, I cannot, because everything is going to get packed and all my computer is going, books are going, everything. It is going into storage. So just today I've booked because I have to leave, vacate the house now. It's been a long time that I've rented my own place, and they now want to start renovations, the new owners. So that's what I wanted all of you to know. So I will see you on 29th of May, and the last class that I will be able to take from my side would be the 19th of June. So are there any questions?
Jayaji, I have a question.
Yes.
It's about the white lie that you were talking about. Mm-hmm. Suppose the truth is going to be painful to a person. Mm-hmm. Asking you an opinion, or they are asking you for the truth, but mm-hmm. you know this truth is going to hurt that person, and they may not have the. You think that they don't have the capacity to accept
bear
that
the pain. Yes, and you can. Yeah.
Yeah. So what can you do in such a situation?
No, if you think that the person cannot take the truth, you know, like extreme kind, not superficial, huh? Like not so somebody say, see, the other day I was going out with a friend and she got into the car and I could tell that she had eaten onion for lunch, right? So a very superficial thing. Then I didn't say anything. She only was feeling it so much that finally she said, you know what? I feel like I'm constantly smelling. I've got a bad breath. And I said, yes, you do. Okay? Because if I would have said, no, you don't, it would have been vital. It would have been actually not vitalized. It's the same. But whether it hurt her or not, I don't know. But I spoke the truth. But there are cases where, you know, suddenly if you think the person might take it really to heart and all, and if your opinion is being asked, then it's okay. Then it's okay. Then it's okay. But I was not talking about that. Even in ordinary things, people will say things which are not true. That should not be done. For us, you know, for us, ordinary people will do it. Please understand that the one who is walking on the spiritual path has got a certain different rules than the one who is in the world. One who is walking the worldly path, they do not understand the rules of the spiritual seeker. I don't know whether I told you this last time, because you know, all of you know that I volunteered at the senior center and they had this volunteer appreciation lunch. So I can't remember. Did I tell you that? Because
yeah.
The board of directors, right? So she didn't appreciate what I said. She's from the world. And the other volunteer said, it's good that they're appreciating us, right? So there's a difference. There's a difference. And the thing is that if we are serious about the spiritual path, then we must not mind that difference. We must not think that I should behave like them to be one with them. No, I'm different. I'm on my path. I'm on my spiritual journey, right? So if you think that, oh, she's nuts, then that's fine. Because she really looked at me like something weird. Like she didn't understand what I meant when I said, thank you for being there and giving me an opportunity to serve. So that's fine. Just so that she doesn't think I'm weird, for me to say, yeah, it's good that you appreciated me, you know? No. That's why all the realized masters, you know, those who have, people have laughed at them, right? And made fun of them, but they don't care because they know that they're going after the correct thing. So if we are very sure in our mind that this is right, this is the correct path, we must not worry what others think about us. We must do what is right for us. Yeah, if there is an extreme case like that, of what, then don't, you know.
Thank you.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Anything else? Okay, then we'll close for today. Om Purnamadah